Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Global Spirits Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint Managing Director, Global Spirits Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call. At Global Spirits, we have focused on creating a steady business through a well-entrenched distillation assets, as well as laying foundation for growth via our consumer business. Our brand portfolio continues to be possibly the widest in the country, spanning price points ranging from 100 rupees per bottle to 2,000 rupees per bottle. Our plants are designed in such a way that they have flexible inputs and outputs to make the most of the market demand and supply scenario and manage shocks that may come up from time to time. With this as our platform, we have been able to report stable results in the quarter gone by. The installed capacity of the company at the end of Q1 was 765 KL per day. Our second expansion in West Bengal has been commissioned during the course of Q2, and our first expansion in Jharkhand is expected to be commissioned soon. Once complete, our total capacity will be close to 900 KL per day. In the last month, there has been a temporary disruption of FCI supplies and subsequently a price increase on ethanol made from maize and broken rice, amounting to rupees 6 and 4.8 respectively. The Government of India is firm in achieving its ethanol blending targets of E20, of which grain ethanol is a significant part. We welcome the proactive steps taken on price increases and are now converting our orders of ethanol, which was to be supplied from surplus rice to broken rice as well as maize ethanol. In the last few quarters, Param and I have spoken to you about all the work that has been happening in the premium plus space. Our first milestone remains at 20% of our consumer segment revenue share, and with many new and innovative product offerings, along with an expanding distribution presence, we are very excited about the prospects of this segment. I now request Param to talk a little bit more about this.
Thanks, Shekhar. Good afternoon, everyone. In the overall consumer segment, the aggregate consumer business sales in Q1 FY24 were up by 14% on quarter-on-quarter basis. The premium segment is showing very promising prospects. Our volumes in Q1 FY24 were 0.05 million, up by 23% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter basis. Although the growth came in lower than our expectations in this quarter, we are seeing expected growth return in Q2. Our brands are now present in UP, West Bengal, Delhi, Haryana, and Punjab. We plan to enter Rajasthan and Jharkhand markets in Q3 or Q4 of this year. Our new offering, Mountain Oak Whisky, which was launched in Q4 of FY23, having turned up a strong performance, is being expanded from West Bengal to all states. Our flagship product in gin, the Terai Craft Gin, is going strong, and we have decided to widen distribution for Terai further in existing markets as well as add new geographies. In addition, we will be launching some exciting new products in this calendar year across selective markets, including premium vodka, a brand launch in the fast-growing ready-to-drink segment. We have reorganized our highest price offerings into an umbrella brand called the India Craft Spirit Company, leveraging four generations of our promoter's history in the alcohol industry of India. Under this, we will have a new craft malt whiskey and new variants of craft gin later this year. Now coming to the value and value plus segment, our growth trajectory continued with volume growth of 10% quarter on quarter to 3.51 million cases, led by improved sales mainly in Rajasthan and Delhi in the value and value plus segments. The value plus and premium realization witnessed a growth of 5% year on year and 16% quarter on quarter to ₹557 per case. This was led by price increases in Rajasthan. Global Green, which was launched in FY23, has crossed 4% market share in the whiskey flavor already and is gaining strength progressively. We are continuing to work on expanding its presence across shelves towards this. In Q3, we intend increasing our focus on Black Lace Rum, which fared very well last year, as you will recall. We had also launched the Kevla flavor in the value segment last year. I'm glad to say, because of our innovative product offerings, GSL market share in Rajasthan improved further to 35% in Q1 of FY24 from 33% in Q4 of FY23. And overall, Rajasthan enjoys a 55% market share in RML. In Haryana, our strategy to creating a sustainable business model is playing out, and we have consciously begin to start reinvesting. We hope to see growth return in Haryana in the next financial year. In West Bengal, in line with our belief in the future of the value plus segment, we continue to invest in this yet nascent segment. West Bengal market remains a medium to long-term play for us. I will now request Nilanjan to take the lead. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. As illustrated in the investor presentation, the Q1 EBITDA margins were 14%, excluding IMFL investments. Higher consumer segment realization, led by price increases in Rajasthan, decline in coal rate by 8% quarter on quarter, helps to offset the continued cost push of grains, which were up by 6% quarter on quarter. Going forward, we see some impact on revenue and margins in Q2 due to closures in the West Bengal and Jharkhand plant as FCI abruptly stopped supplies of surplus rice. It has taken us around 10 to 12 days to restart plants on maize and broken rice. The export ban on rice and the price increase on ethanol will support margins and raw material availability as we get into the new crop season from end of quarter three. Between June and August, grain rates have grown by around 10%. However, AFS and fuel rates have been favorable and will help partially mitigate the impact of grain cost increase. Animal feed supplement rates grew by 6% quarter one over quarter four and have grown by 20% between June and August. Fuel costs, on the other hand, have reduced by another 6% between June and August. As we get into the festive season, the demand increase for ENA will help increase ENA prices and grow margin on ENA due to higher grain rates. With this, I request the moderator to open the call to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and thank you so much for taking my question. Presumably, we are trying to make a sort of sustained franchise a business where, as you said, we want to sort of increase our consumer part of the business contribution, which always gives us greater pricing power, the ability to build brands, etc. Now, having said that, I'm guessing that, you know, there are two parts to it, right? There's the managing the today and there's the transitioning towards the more sort of long-term consumer sort of facing goal. Now, in the interim, given that we have an ethanol and an ENA sort of part of our bulk manufacturing business, would you just shed some light, and I'm sure this would be useful for everybody on this call, that, you know, as far as ethanol blending is concerned, there is this whole variable of raw material, right? So corn versus FCI, rice versus broken rice from the market. The second variable, I'm guessing, would be the yield or the conversion of that raw material into number of liters that a ton of that produces. And the third would be the offtake price by the OMCs, which would be different for each of the categories of ethanol basis what, you know, grain is being used. So would you be able to shed some light on how this all adds up in terms of FCI rice not coming? Are we getting broken grain and maize from the outside market as much as we want? At what price? What's the offtake price given that there's an interim price increase that OMCs have given? So how does this all pan out in terms of the likely margin structure? With obviously the assumption that we have the fungibility to use all of these to make ethanol, so production should not be an issue, and the fact that I'm assuming that we've already restarted production after the 10-12 day disruption.
Yeah, thanks. So you're very right in terms of understanding our business in terms of where we are currently and where we're going. In this period, obviously, there is time when our, a pretty significant share of our revenue comes from the ethanol or the ENA business. you spoke about variables between surplus rice, maize, broken rice, the recoveries of each raw material, as well as the pricing. Well, there is another variable, which is the fungibility between ENA and ethanol. We have the option of, you know, switching off ENA supplies in favor of ethanol and vice versa at over 50% of our installed capacity base. In this year, the entire grain ethanol supplies of the country, not just of Global Spirits, were to come from FCI rice. For whatever reason, FCI has, of course, stopped supplies of this rice, and the industry therefore had to rely on other raw materials. The industry has then requested for price corrections because, you know, it just wasn't making sense, the price of ethanol from rice or maize, considering where raw material prices were or are currently. And that price increase came through at 6 and nearly 5 rupees for maize and broken rice. At this level, the margins on ethanol are not the same as that for FCI. In some areas, these margins are less than what we can get on ENA, and in some states, it's vice versa. ENA margins are a little bit lower. So at Globus, what we have therefore needed to do in the last, 15, 20 days now, is reorganize our sales mix between ENA.
Sorry to interrupt you. We are losing your audio.
Yeah, is this better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what we've had to do in the last 15 to 20 days is that we've had to reorganize our entire sales mix between maize ethanol, broken rice ethanol, and ENA. So, for example, in Jharkhand in the month of August, which the capacity was to have been running on ethanol, in the month of August, Jharkhand will be running 100% on ENA, whereas the West Bengal second plant will be running or is running on broken rice and maize in a combination. It's not exclusively on broken rice. It will be running in a combination of both raw materials. So in this fashion, state to state, we take a call on what raw material mix makes sense and what outputs make sense, whether ENA or ethanol. You know, like Nilanjan mentioned, whereas grain rates are high even now, there has been further decrease in fuel. There has been further gain on animal feed prices. So, you know, we see some of the margin fall being mitigated, but considering the closures that happened for a certain period of time, you know, both revenue and margin on the ENA and ethanol business will be affected in Q2. And as we get into Q3, we start getting new crop. There's going to be an abundant supply of rice in India in the next crop year. So that's when things will start going back to, say, Q4, Q1 kind of levels, and hopefully further growth thereafter.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I mean, that's like a very comprehensive and proactive answer, which one always gets in Globus. A follow-up on that, so presumably the restart of production has happened across the board, whether it's on ENA or ethanol of all the plants. And if you're talking about a certain amount of top-line loss because of the shutdown on ethanol and ENA, I'm also assuming that like any other business, there are leaks and fill. So as you mentioned, the energy basket cost is coming down. My understanding is also that the absolute grain price of the 45 days of this quarter, 1st July to 15th August, is actually lower than the whole 90 days of last quarter.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last bit? I didn't quite follow.
Okay, so the last bit what I mentioned was that at least from what I've been studying of the market, and I might be completely wrong, so for you to correct me, that the last 45 days, which is 1st July to 15th August, the average grain price is actually a little lesser than the 90-day average of April to June.
No, that is not correct. We've seen increases in April to June over Jan to March, and thereafter we've seen increases again between July and August.
Okay, so to the earlier part of my question, that have we restarted and will we be able to sort of go full throttle so that we minimize the damage to the top line and the bottom line to Q2 on account of just ethanol and ENA?
I do see that. As of now, I do see that aside from the period when supply chain was disrupted, in fact, if FCI had done this in a planned manner, even that disruption would have been minimized, if not completely removed. I don't see a challenge in utilizing our capacities currently. So, you know, aside from that time, I don't see any challenge in utilizing our capacities.
Excellent. So, thank you so much. And my second question is more on the consumer side of the business. So, if you pick up IMIL first. Now, if my understanding is correct, that there are a lot of states in the country where we are not even allowed to do IMIL, right? So, for example, some states in the south, etc. So, given where we are allowed, are we like fairly present or are we planning to go and within the depth of the product portfolio, are we fairly penetrated in terms of the product segments in IMIL? Because I also understand that we are the pioneers of creating a new segment, which is the I think it's called RMS or something. So, just wanted to get a sense that are we fairly well entrenched both in terms of width and depth on IMIL, or is there sort of miles to go before we rest?
You know, the answer to most of these questions are state by state. So the first part of your question where IMIL or value plus segments are not present, don't exist in some states. Well, that's partially correct. There is always a low price segment in every state. Now, in some states, that low price segment has IMFL attribute. So, you know, same strength as IMFL, 42.8%. Or thereabouts. It's either called a whiskey or a vodka or some of these international product categories. And in those states, the category is just called a cheap or economy IMFL. In other states which don't, which actually separate this into a different product category which has a lower alcohol strength and different flavor attributes, there this category is called IMIL or country liquor. So every state in India will have a cheap or an economy segment. You can call it different things. Globus's strategy in addressing the economy segments has always been that we will have a fully integrated operation in that state, which means we will produce our ENA, we will bottle it ourselves, and we will distribute the product ourselves. What this strategy gives us is ability to sustain margins and grow our business regardless of the various cycles that exist, whether it's commodity cycle or ENA cycles. If we are to buy ENA and only bottle, then our margins in the economy segments are very, very volatile. But in an integrated model, they're a little more stable. As a result, we only operate this segment in the states of Rajasthan, Haryana, West Bengal currently. We will be adding Jharkhand in the future, even though Jharkhand is currently a very, very small industry. It is something that we will start in the future. And Uttar Pradesh, which is, you know, a very, very large value plus industry, but also very mature, we will be launching there as well in the future. Besides these five states, as of now, we do not intend on, we also have Delhi. So besides these six states, we don't intend on launching value plus anywhere else in the country as of now. Let's see in the future where opportunities come up. And within these states, I think Rajasthan and Delhi are the two mature markets for us in terms of distribution presence. Haryana and West Bengal are where the opportunities for, you know, tremendous growth exist. And Param spoke about that in his opening remarks as well. But currently, the sort of backbone of this business is Rajasthan and Delhi.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Would it be fair to say that there's a slight correction that Odisha also would get added, or are we not looking at doing IMIL in Odisha when we set up a plant there?
So Odisha plant is, at the Odisha plant currently, there is no consumer business that is planned. So, you know, Odisha market for IMIL is very different, and, you know, I can talk about that, you know, take you through that on a later date, but suffice it to say, we do not see opportunity for Globus in the value plus consumer market in Odisha.
Thank you. Dhruv, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'll request you to join the queue again for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Firstly, the presentation of the company is getting better every quarter as it goes by, giving more data out and, you know, explaining the what and the why of the quarter better. So that is something that requires a shout out. So thanks for that from the analyst community side. The first question I had was simply put, why is the gross profit margin lower, you know, despite everything being in our favor?
Sorry, why is the gross margin what?
gross profit margin lower this quarter.
Okay. Nilanjan, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. See, the computation of gross margin takes into account my cost of raw material consumed and cost of packing material consumed, right? And my cost of raw material consumed, as Shekhar has pointed out in his opening speech and also my speech, has increased quarter on quarter. That's one of the main reasons the gross margin impact has come down.
Understood. So are you saying that the cost during Q1 of raw materials, basically rice, although SCI was still supplying rice, was higher than it was in Q4?
No. Can you repeat?
Yeah. So let me come in on that, Nilanjan. So FCI rice is only for ethanol. For the rest of our business, we need to buy rice from the open market. So whereas FCI rice, of course, was stable, but the other broken rice that we purchased, prices went up in Q1 over Q4.
Understood. So the second question is, we have seen a significant loss in our IMIL volumes. In which state have you made those losses, and what has been the reason?
A drop in volume over last year or over, I mean, Q1, I think we're up, right?
Yeah.
Q1, you're up. Y on Y, you're down.
Okay. Parag, can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah. Yeah. As Shekhar has just mentioned, Nitin, that Q1, we are up. On year-on-year, we are soft for the simple reason, mainly led by Haryana, because we had called out that in Haryana, we had pulled back our investments because we were seeing that the state direction was giving us pressure on our margins. Now, at this point of time, we've just begun to start reinvesting in Haryana, and we see this investment strategy play out as we go into the moving forward quarters, and slowly growth will start coming back. The choice we had made was to make sure that we do business with margins rather than keep on allowing margins to get tapered to the point where it does not make business sense for us. So the major shortfall came from Haryana.
So almost all of this volume, 0.4 million cases, which you have lost, is all from Haryana?
Sorry, say that again?
The volumes, 0.4 million cases.
Almost.
All from Haryana?
All is Haryana. Almost all is
Haryana. If I were to take that number into account, that would mean that your sales in Haryana would have been negligible. You have almost pulled out of the market.
They are small. They are not negligible, but they are relatively, they have come down quite a bit. Yes. That is correct.
Okay. Any strategy for the state going ahead? Will you add it back?
So as I just said, that we have seen the environment has corrected itself, and we have just begun reinvesting, and we expect this reinvestment to start yielding results as we keep going forward through the coming period.
I think next year, at some point, we should start seeing some meaningful numbers from Haryana again. That's where our strategy currently stands in Haryana.
Understood. Understood, sir. So last question from my side. RMIL versus IMIL in Rajasthan, the percentage share or the boon or the growth that RMIL was seeing is tapering off according to the government data, if I'm right. If I'm right, is that correct? And that is what's happening in the market right now, that IMIL is again gaining back popularity compared to RMIL.
So I can take that, Parag, if you like. So last year, there had been a change in the policy for the medium segment or the value plus segment. And if you recollect, we had said that there will be degrowth in last year, and thereafter, growth will return from that base. So what we are seeing now in Q1, in fact, also in Q2, is that there is growth in Rajasthan from that reduced base of last year.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rishabh Sisodia from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have just some two quick questions. So first, the capacity. So in my opinion, sir, we are adding.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you are losing your audio. Can you come in a better reception area, please?
Hello. Now is it better?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is on the capacity addition. So if I look at the IP, so currently we'd be adding in Jharkhand and Bihar for the current year. Right? So beyond that.
Jharkhand, Bihar, and West Bengal.
Okay.
So approximately 140 KL per day is being added, 60 each in Jharkhand and Bengal, and about 20, I believe.
90.
Yeah, 20 in Bihar.
So most probably by the end of FY24, we would again be at 100% capacity utilization level. And beyond that, the CapEx would come in, I believe, in FY25, right?
Yeah. So we plan to start construction in Odisha during the course of this year. Uttar Pradesh, we start construction of the bottling plant. The ENA plant is currently maybe in the next, I think, Q1, probably we'll start construction there. So yeah, I think end of FY25, we will get more capacity coming on.
So most likely in the FY25, our manufacturing segment would see almost volume flattish compared to FY24.
You'll see this little growth, right? I mean, Q4 of last year, we had some maintenance closures. Q1, you had closures because of FCI. So you'll see this growth. But effectively, on an installed capacity level, yes, there will be no growth in capacities, installed capacities, in the next financial year.
Okay. That's okay. And on the consumer front, so you have mentioned that you are looking at getting into the ready-to-drink segment as well. So if you could shed more color on that.
So as of now, we don't have further information to provide except from the fact that we are looking at this segment. We've got a product. Our innovation team is working on developing a product there. It's, in fact, how do I say it? Advanced stages of development and testing that are happening right now. So besides that, we don't have any further information to provide at the current stage.
Yeah. Just want to add to what Shekhar said. You see, as earlier also it came up in discussion that we have, as part of our strategy, looking after today, tomorrow, and then there is something we are working on day after tomorrow as well. So this is in line with one of the things that we are working on with evolving consumer behavior. So as time will keep going by, we will share more and more details of our progress on the fronts that we are opening up towards evolving consumer behaviors.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. And just the last bit on the margin front. So given you mentioned that we have faced some.
Rishabh, sorry, we are losing your audio. May I request to come back in a reception area, please?
Yeah. Now is it better?
No, sir. Still sounding the same.
Okay. I'll get back. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, with this maize and broken rice that you will now be using instead of the FCI rice, so and that will also increase the fluctuation, I guess, in the margins because maize prices may not be as or less volatile like FCI prices. So do you envisage a volatile characteristic in your margin, number one? And secondly, do you also see like your margins coming down because of, I mean, net-net, as of now, where will be your margins compared to the case where you were using FCI rice?
Right. So yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, FCI rice is a stable pricing environment for our raw material. Of course, with the change to buying raw material from the open market, there will be more volatility. The good news is that maize prices and maize crops are growing, plus the maize ethanol rates are now a little more viable. As a result, we have flexibility between broken rice and maize, not just for ethanol, but even for our ENA business. So for example, in Rajasthan, where we don't make any ethanol, entirely ENA and consumer, we're also starting to use maize as a part of our raw material mix over there. So the fact that we can, you know, mix our raw material will hedge the volatility. But yes, as compared to FCI, there would be a slightly greater volatility. With regards to how margins will evolve, I mean, I did give some color on this earlier on in the call, where, you know, Q2 will be reduced because of the shocks that came in, number one. Number two, broken rice and maize are still not as profitable as FCI was. But going into Q3, end of Q3 and Q4, when we start getting the new crop of rice, and also a maize crop, I think in end October, margins will start moving closer to Q4, Q1 levels towards the end of Q3 and Q4.
Understood. So net-net, you know, I mean, as things stand now, what is the expectation of the margins for the entire year?
I mean, you know, the next 3 months, as of now, what I can say, the next 3 months, meaning August, September, October, it's difficult for me to give an exact number, but I can say that November, December onwards, we will be back at Q4, Q1 kind of levels. So these three, 4 months, it's difficult for me to give an exact number. I do see a 1 or 2% drop, for sure, but it will be difficult for me to give an exact number for these three to four months. So the rest of the period, you know, I feel Q4, Q1 kind of levels are sustained.
Understood. And on your consumer business, if I look at your YOY numbers, you know, which is probably more apt given the seasonality and everything, looks like, you know, the numbers have come out to be very, very weak, you know, in terms of the volumes. Even in the Prestige and above IMFL, you know, we are seeing only a 5% sort of a growth at such a small base. You know, the expectation would be a much higher growth. So why, you know, that delivery and execution has been poor, you know, across consumer business and especially in IMFL?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, IMFL volumes have not grown as per our expectations in Q1, and Param spoke about that in his opening remarks. Param, can you take this one forward, please?
Yeah. So we must see it in two contexts. One is, you know, what we are looking at this year in Q1 is the actual offtake trend of what has happened. Keeping in mind, we must remember that last year when we had introduced brands, we had spread the pipeline, and those numbers were filling off the pipeline one time. However, in the first year, on the first quarter, that aberration is always there because now what we are seeing is replenishment of the pipeline. So that always happens when the brand is first introduced or the range is first introduced. Second is, we did begin the quarter a little slow,
because of some supply issues at the beginning of the quarter. They didn't last too long, and they were corrected immediately. So that challenge did put us a couple of steps behind in terms of the delivery of the quarter. But having said that, we are absolutely on track for our trajectory, and you will see that as we go forward, the growth will start becoming much more robust as we have been indicating.
So for the full year, what should be the expectation for IMFL and overall consumer revenues sort of a growth?
So we, I mean, instead of pegging it, I said our dream would be to double our IMFL business at this stage. That will be a good number to sort of strive for. Obviously, we are an evolving business, and we have just completed our first full year, and we are opening up new geographies, expanding our portfolio and building penetration for our brands. But as a benchmark, doubling volumes is a good ambitious driver for us.
And 5-7% sort of a growth in value and value plus?
I think value plus will grow a little bit more this year. If you look at it from a quarter on quarter basis, this year the growth will be a little bit higher. Last year, I think in Q2, we slowed down investment in Haryana. So maybe up till Q2, there may be a reduced growth year on year, but then Q3 onwards, that should come back too from a year on year basis.
Understood. And in terms of your, apart from this, have you also sort of recalibrated any of your expansion plan on the manufacturing side, given the sort of regulatory sort of uncertainty to an extent which has been introduced because of the recent moves?
So, I think we've had a lot of discussion on this, obviously, last 15 days internally. And one of the things we found was that, Globus has chosen certain strategic states and has sized investments in those states at a certain level. I mean, our target was to get to, say, around 1,000 KL per day of capacity. We could have grown that in Haryana and, maybe one or two states. But we chose not to do that and, in fact, grow with smaller capacities in larger number of states. And one of the greatest reasons for that is the risk of policy that is intrinsic in our business. Whereas an event like what has happened in the last 15, 20 days is not ideal and certainly not something we wanted, but it is something that we have factored in as a risk when we invest in distillery assets. And for that reason, we do sizing and multi-feed and multi-output. I don't see any massive change in our CapEx plans. As of now, our CapEx plans are steady as per what they have been. So UP and Odisha are the two new facilities that are to come up. Odisha is going to be a more ethanol or a distillation business weighted play, whereas UP is a more consumer business weighted play. This kind of event is something we understand, but from a long-term point of view, we are still very firm in our the fundamental prospects of the ENA ethanol and consumer business of the countries.
Thank you. Sarvesh, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request you to join the queue again for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you please share your power and fuel cost in the absolute terms?
right? In absolute terms, in coal we are averaging around about 8.25 per kg. That's the power and fuel. We mainly use coal, and in husk at 8.2.
Sir, what would be the, you know, the absolute figure for the quarter, last quarter?
Absolute figure for power and fuel for last quarter is 67 crores 70 lakhs.
Okay, and just one more thing, you know, last quarter you must have got price increases in Rajasthan, right, for your IMIL business?
Yes, in April we got a price increase.
So despite the price hike, you know, our margins are lower. So does it mean that the raw material inflation was very, very high in the last quarter?
Yes, as mentioned, we are, our raw material inflation, our grain rates were up by 10%. And though we had a tapering of our fuel rates, but our grain rates were up by 10%.
Right. And this, you know, the latest announcement of increases in ethanol prices, it happened across the country, right? Not just in West Bengal and Jharkhand.
No, ethanol price increase is across the country.
So then my question to you, sir, is going forward, you know, you have seen disruption in West Bengal and Jharkhand on the FCI rice supply. But in the other states, I'm assuming, you know, let's say Rajasthan or Haryana, you would not, you know, face any major challenges to procure. Wouldn't be a positive net for you going forward, given the, you know, price increases are very, very decent?
Can you repeat the question once again? The line was
sure. Sir, the price increases are, you know, nationwide on the ethanol, you know, and the problems that you faced in the last quarter or maybe now, you know, are only in West Bengal and Jharkhand. So don't you think net, it should be a positive thing for you, given you have got price increases across the, you know, your plants?
Can I take that, Nilendra?
Yeah.
So, firstly, the reason we did not have such a significant disruption in Bihar and Bihar and Haryana is because we had stocks of FCI rice. In Bengal and Jharkhand, we had lower stocks. We were in process of building up our stocks when this abrupt stoppage happened. So that's why Jharkhand and Bengal faced the brunt of this problem. Even in Haryana and Bihar, we are now having to not buy FCI rice and buy maize and broken rice in the market. And the price increases of this material are, I mean, are welcome, of course, but they're not enough. I mean, it's still more profitable to make ethanol from FCI than from broken rice or maize, despite the price increases. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, this is very helpful. Thank you. My last question is on your Haryana unit. I think 2-3 quarters back, you had some problem of aging equipment, etc. So is it fair to assume that now this is behind and, you know, you are working at a decent capacity utilization in Haryana?
Yes, so it is fair to assume that in Haryana there is one project we have to take up. We have not yet scheduled it, but we've decided to take it up, which is going to be a modernization in our in both our boilers to run multi-fuel. Currently, only one boiler can run multi-fuel. Currently, we don't see enough price arbitrage to be able to go ahead with that project. But, you know, for the rest of this year, there will be no sort of extended planned maintenance closures in Haryana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dinesh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, sir, I have a couple of questions. My first question is on the margin side. Of course, due to this current scenario, there can be a fluctuation in the margin. But previously, there was a guidance that the margin can go up to 18% from 16%. So once if this FCI issue gets resolved and other softening of the raw materials, can we expect the margin to easily cope up to 18%, or will there be any challenge in reaching that 18% level?
I mean, I don't want to say no to that, but what I can say right now is that, you know, the visibility I have, given this new environment of FCI not supplying rice, the visibility I have is that from the end of Q3 and Q4, we will get back to Q4, Q1 kind of margins. The period between now and say November, December is going to be at lower margins. You know, I had said already up to 1 to 2% reduction is what I certainly see right now. But you know, let's see how this time pans out. We are supported by reducing an environment of reducing fuel rates and increasing animal feed rates, also increasing ENA rates. So those things are supporting us, but till such time as the new crop of rice comes in November, December, as well as of maize towards the end of October, I do foresee that raw material prices will continue to remain quite high.
Okay, got it, sir. And my second question is on the segment side. In presentation slide 5, it was mentioned that the company is looking to enter new markets both in domestic as well as exports in the prestige and above segment. So, what's those new markets which the company is currently looking at an opportunity to enter and is it the case?
So currently, Param mentioned in his opening remarks, we've got Jharkhand and Rajasthan lined up for the second half of this year. For new launches within India. For exports, you know, we are in discussion with distributors, but as of now, nothing is concrete or lined up. This is something that we possibly will take up a little more aggressively in the next financial year.
Okay, so just a follow-up to that, even in the ready-to-drink segment also, it has been mentioned that four strategic markets initially selected. So can you please name those four? What are those markets?
I mean, these are the markets that we operate in right now. So these are not going to be additional four new markets. But within these markets, we will pick four. Within the seven markets, which include Rajasthan and Jharkhand, we will pick four. As of now, due to competition reasons and strategic reasons, I'm not able to name those four.
Okay. So just one last one, sir. In the previous call, it has been mentioned that in this financial year, the IMFL segment can be able to double the volume. So do we still stand on this, sir, looking at the current scenario?
Yeah, I think doubling our volumes is a target for this year, along with around 10% Q1Q kind of growth rate in the value plus segments. Those are our targets for this year.
Yeah, got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it. Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I rejoined the queue and building upon what we were discussing earlier. So like we said, the endeavor in principle would be that we move as much of more and more of our capacities to consumer facing franchises and businesses. But in the meanwhile, of course, there will be a large component of ENA and ethanol. And you've spoken about the fungibility. So just to understand this better, and as I see the business, there is a raw material cost, so whether it's corn or broken rice or FCI, or any kind of grain. The second is really a fuel cost used in the factory to convert it to
ethanol to convert it to ENA or ethanol. And the third would be primary and secondary packaging, etc. So this would largely be the raw material and the sort of production finishing cost, as you would call it. Now, having seen this and the volatility in all of it, the volatility in the offtake pricing, what is your thoughts of, I mean, is it, and you mentioned it's state to state, but how do you see this whole picture that, because I'm trying to understand that how do we decommodify the business?
Let me attempt to answer your question. Decommoditizing the business has to come from the consumer business. The rest of the business is a commoditized sort of business. I mean, albeit a higher margin commoditized business as compared to most other commodity businesses in India, because we have the flexibility between ENA and ethanol. This industry, has a higher margin than most other commodity businesses in the country. So the only way really to do that is to build on our consumer business, get it to, first back to 50% revenue share. I mean, our manufacturing side of the business has grown very fast in the last two or three years. So even though there has been growth in the consumer business, but the manufacturing business has grown much faster at this period. So get it back to 50% consumer business share, and then get to the next milestone, which could be, I don't know, 60-65% kind of revenue share. At a 50-50, it's a very good and healthy mix between the two businesses, and I frankly really look forward to that. It's difficult for me to say whether it's going to happen in, 2 years or 3 years. It's certainly a medium to long-term target, given that our manufacturing business will again grow in FY 2026. It's a very difficult number for me to really fix in terms of which year we will get there. But that is a KPI, as it were, that I am very keenly monitoring.
Okay. So if I was to, my second question on, we were on the IMFL topic when I came back in the queue, that you had mentioned earlier that, you're entering states and, there's a certain amount of sort of interaction and interchangeability, and you're trying to, build upon a state. Is that also how you would go about IMFL in terms of the product vertical as well as the geographical vertical? I mean, what's your IMFL strategy? If you could just give a little bit more color on that.
So if I understand your question correctly, you want to know why we pick the states we pick?
Not necessarily. I mean, I've understood the IML, or you mentioned that some places it's called economy, IMFL, etc. I've understood that part, but when we come specifically to our prestige and above segment, I mean that part of the IMFL, what's really the strategy in terms of, given it's such a small part and we want to endeavor to take it to 20%, so if you could just shed some color on what's the path to success and when do you see that happen?
Sure. So Param, can you take this one?
Yeah, I will do that. So thanks, Dhruv. So the first thing is, the picking of the geography itself is, the geography which indicates our right to win. The segments that we want to play in, the segments have to have enough volume, enough margins. The route to market in that state should allow a player which is a new entrant to have a fair play and make inroads and a clean time frame in which to define his or her success. And once we are doing that, the whole purpose is that, one is we are starting off a small base, so our growth will be much, much higher than the main IMIL business, which is a bigger driver at this point of time. And second is, ours is a higher margin product. And more consumers and evolving consumers, as we see, will keep on thronging into this segment.
We started with three states, we moved to four, we moved to five, we are moving to six, seven, and over a period of time our portfolio will slowly start expanding our route to market capabilities as well as our key account activities. All of them will start building strength, and we see our numbers, which are currently at 4%, continue to inch up and strive in the medium term to in the zone of 20% as we have predicted.
Right. Param, thank you so much for that. That really, really helped a lot. Can I slip in a quick last 10-second question, or should I rejoin the queue?
Okay.
You can go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So, Shekhar, my last question was more on the current quarter and the year and now. So, given we are 45 days into it, and you had corrected my understanding that that the grain prices aren't actually lower than April, May, June, and the fact that we've lost some production as well, and my understanding is that now we are going full throttle state-wise, whether we are doing ENA or ethanol or the consumer part from it. So, would you be able to give a sense of, you know, what kind of top line, bottom line loss are we looking at? I mean, considering that the last quarter, the July, August, September quarter in 2022, I think we had done a profit of only 22 crores. So are you looking at something that is significantly impacted? Are you looking at some sort of correction from the current numbers?
You know, from a margin standpoint, 2% kind of number is something I do see.
Yeah, but there will also be a top-line loss, right? So I'm just trying to understand that from a top-line flow-through to the bottom line, what is the kind of impact we are looking at if you were to compare it to this quarter which has just gone by?
Top-line, Nilanjan, do you have an estimate on that? I think for two of our plants, you were closed for about 10, 12 days, right? So I don't know if you've made an estimate on what is the top-line.
We'll get back on that, but from the top-line, only for two of our plants where we had to stop because of our FCI breath production, we lost about 16 lakh liters of production there, sale there. But making an estimate on what would be the decline over quarter one is too early at this point of time. But as you have said, on a margin decline, 1 or 2% could be a margin decline.
But would it be possible to make some sort of forecast in terms of
50 lakh back of the envelope? You lost about 40-50 lakh liters of production.
Yeah.
And per liter, say about 60 rupees is your selling price. Plus there is another 8-9 rupees of animal feed revenue that you get. So, you know, 67-68 rupees on 50 lakh liters. This is back of the envelope. I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Agree.
So that's about 30-40 crores lost in top line, but some of that I'm presuming could also be made up on the IMIL and IMFL business, which is apparently going full steam ahead into the second half of the year.
You're absolutely right. But like I said, like Nilanjan said, we do not have an estimate. But off the top of my head, that's what I could calculate right now.
No, but very helpful, and that's it from my side. And Shekhar, it's always it's a great learning experience interacting with you and your team for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, my question is on, again, coal, you know, the power and fuel mix cost. See, last quarter compared to, you know, Q4, coal auction prices were basically down about 15-17%. And, you know, your power usage remained basically flat or octane what it was in Q4. So can you explain the reason for this?
I mean, some of it is to do with our volume as well, right? Because there are changes happening all the time in terms of installed capacity and utilized capacity. But in terms of coal rates, there's an 8% decrease in Q1 as compared to Q2. And there's been a further reduction in Q2. I think it's another 7-8%. Nilanjan, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I think you also took that initiative to reduce the, you know, the power and fuel usage in your plants. So where are we on that side?
That was a trial we did in West Bengal. We'll be taking it to the other plants. I think in Q3, you'll see a little more of that coming in Jharkhand and in Bengal and in Bihar. So these three states in Q2, Q3, you'll have that impact. In Haryana and in Rajasthan, we require modifications in plants to make the same changes. So as of now, we have not extended it into those two states for the current year. Possibly in the next year, we can take that up.
Right. And just one last thing on the taxes. So this quarter, we are about 25%. So we have shifted to the new regime for you know, tax computation.
Yes, we have shifted to the new regime.
All right. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the manager for closing comments.
Thank you so much for joining our call. As always, we are available for any further questions you may have. Please do write to our investor relations team in case there is any further discussion. Thank you again and have a good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Globus Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.